Now, Springbok Radio invites you to lean back, put your feet up, and spend the next half hour with the Bowler, Briefcase, and Brolly Brigade.
The men from the ministry.
Today our story begins not in the actual offices of the General Assistance Department in Whitehall, but in the rather more peaceful surroundings of the suite belonging to the Minister of Labour. There the Minister himself is ushering in the permanent Undersecretary, Sir Gregory Pipkin.
Ah, Pipkin, come in, come in. Take a seat, my dear fellow. Make yourself comfortable.
Thank you, Minister. My word, what a splendid new office you have, yeah.
Yes, I'm rather proud of it myself.
I especially like your mink carpet.
Ah. Good. Yes, we're always on the lookout for new ways of spending public money, you know. How do you like the modern furniture?
Oh, most impressive, Minister. Most impressive.
Yes. It has its drawbacks, though. I sat on that thing for 3 weeks before I learned that it was a waste paper basket. Tell me, what did you think of those busts in the outer office?
Charming, Minister, absolutely charming, really.
I was referring to the marble busts on the bookcase.
Old Roman emperors out there. What enormous noses they had.
Indeed.
Yes, they all had them, didn't they? Tremendous great thing. The sort of nose you want to strike a match on. That sort of nose runs in families.
Those are busts of my father and grandfather.
Oh, oh yes, yes, Minister. As I said, yes, they're very striking.
Well, Pipkin, what did you want to see me about?
You sent for me, Minister.
Yeah?
Yes.
I wonder what for.
I've really no idea. No idea at all, Minister.
But I do wish you'd remember, Pipkin. Honestly, how you young chaps can forget so many things as they aren't, me.
You didn't tell me in the first place.
No sense of responsibility, that's your
problem. Oh, very well, Minister.
I suppose you expect me to remember what it's all about.
Well, I suppose it wouldn't have anything to do with the country's unemployment figures, would it?
It'd be ridiculous, Pipkin. Stop making idiotic suggestions.
Sorry, Minister.
No, I think it had something to do with the country's unemployment figures. Lately, I've had a Miss Frenella Ponsonby on my back.
Really?
Not very pleasant it was, I can tell you.
But what's that got to do with the country's unemployment figures?
Oh, don't rush me, Pipkin. She's the head of the EOW.
The EOW?
What's the matter, Pipkin? You in pain or something?
You said the EOW.
Yes, that's right. Equal Opportunities for Women.
Oh.
They formed league. Demanding that women be allowed to do the same jobs as men and get equal pay for it.
Oh, but that's ridiculous, Minister.
Is it, Pipkin?
Isn't it?
Well, I suppose they have a point. They're demanding that there be no discrimination when an employer advertises a position vacant.
What do you want me to do about it?
Well, they want the civil service to set an example for the rest of the country to follow. I want you to get your staff onto working out whether it would be feasible to use women in the same jobs as men and how much it would cost to implement such a scheme. Have you got that?
Oh, yes, of course, Mr.
Good. Now, Pipkin, I know that you and your staff don't have such a good record for doing jobs properly, so this time...
Yes, Minister.
Try not to make a muck of it.
Jar.
Milton, please. There is enough frivolity in this office.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Lennox Brown. I was only bringing in the tea.
Tea? We didn't ask for tea.
No, you'd better take it away again.
Take the tea away? Blimey, you two are overworking yourselves.
We suddenly realized that the other day the entire future of the nation could be in our hands.
That's right. We've been asked to give our thoughts on the economic situation. The Prime Minister has this terrible inflation problem, you see.
Oh, well, he should do the same as my dad does, Mr. Lamb. Take bicarbonate of soda.
Now, Mildred, please, this is extremely serious. The government is extremely worried about the rampant inflationary spiral.
You what?
Oh, come on, Mildred, it's quite simple. All it means is that prices and incomes chase each other round in ever-diminishing circles until they finally disappear in their own arbitration machinery.
I suppose it depends on which way you look at it, doesn't it?
Well, that's what we're here for, to view the problem from all sides and angles and weigh up the pros and cons and come up with the answer.
But how come they asked you to look into it when all the country's top brains haven't been able to figure it out?
They've obviously only just realized that we belong to that same group.
Or else they've made a mistake.
Yes, or else... Mildred, will you mind?
Well, let's go.
Well, we can't complain, Sir Gregory, and you...
Well, how's that report of the country's economic problems coming along?
Oh, actually, rather well, Sir Gregory. We've been concentrating more on increasing the country's income than cutting down on expenditure at the moment.
And what exactly have you come up with?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that, Sir Gregory. We have several excellent ideas which we feel are both lucrative and meritorious.
Yeah, we think they're quite good as well.
I'll be the judge of that, lad.
Yes, my lord.
Now, for instance, the changing of the guard. The changing of the guard. As you know, this takes place at the palace every morning.
Of course, and it usually draws a big crowd.
Exactly. Well, we think that a way should be found to make tourists pay for the privilege of watching the ceremony.
Make people pay to watch the changing of the guard?
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Not at all, Sir Gregory. Think of all that extra money coming in, and we feel it should be done more often. So even more tourists could see it, say, every half hour.
Change the guard every half hour.
That's right, you're getting the hang of it, Sir Gregory. And the ceremony could be livened up. This spot of trick riding, perhaps.
Trick riding, man?
Yes, Sir Gregory, you know, like in the circus. And now, ladies and gentlemen, direct from Italy, at enormous expense to the management, we present the one and only, the great Lambertini.
Lambertini? Somebody called Lambertini in the Queen's Old Guards.
It was only an example, Sir Gregory.
Yes, and a very poor one at that, lad.
Oh. Well, what we could do is put a handkerchief on the ground and one of the officers could lean from the saddle as he gallops past and pick it up with his teeth.
What?
And then, as an encore, he could ride back and pick up his teeth.
What an absolute codswallop. I've never heard such a load of it in all my life.
Oh, and you want to hear more, Sir Gregory?
No, I most definitely don't. About time the pair of you started using a bit of sense. You're both old enough and ugly enough.
Well, you can speak about Lennox Brown like that, Sir Gregory, but I'm...
Oh, shut up, lad. Now, listen, you both better go round and see Miss Fenella Ponsonby right away. Here's her address.
Oh, but whatever for, Sir Gregory?
Here's a memo with all the details on it. I thought I'd better write them out so that I didn't have to spend too much time in here. So get on with it immediately.
Well, number two, here we are. Would you like to knock or shall I?
Oh, help yourself, number one.
Very well, here we go.
Come in!
Did you hear that? No, look, I knocked, number two, so you can open it.
No, wait a minute, number one, after you.
Don't worry about that voice inside.
What do you want?
Good afternoon. We are government men.
Stop! Can't use that ghastly word in my presence.
Which word, madam?
That horrible swear word that starts with M, ends with N, and has an E in the middle.
Oh, you mean men.
I'd retract that statement if I were you, number two.
Very well, then. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say men.
What I was saying, that we are government... We are from the government, and we've come to see about this equal opportunities business.
It is not a business. It's a birthright. Every woman should be entitled to receive the same privileges and salary as any member of the opposite sex.
But how can they if they don't do the same work?
That is our big bugbear. We want to do the same work.
But, madam, this would be impossible.
Not in the least. Why shouldn't we have the same opportunities as any of you young things?
Madam, I must ask you please not to refer to me as a thing.
Yes, even a member of the opposite sex was better.
Yes, well, why shouldn't we have the same opportunities? Look at the situations vacant columns in the papers. They're riddled, absolutely riddled with discriminatory advertisements. Now, just look here. Look, boilermakers, welders, fitters and charmers, steamroller drivers.
Yeah, but they don't say no women need apply.
No, but can you imagine what would happen if I went along to apply for a job as a steamroller driver?
Yes, you'd be a natural. They wouldn't need a steamroller.
What was that?
Nothing, really.
You're not making our job any easier, number two. Look, surely women don't really want jobs like these, though. I mean, well, it is work for the stronger sex.
And just who do you think, little thing, is the stronger sex?
Madam, would you please put me down?
Now, you going to give in fast and stop discriminating against us poor defenseless
females? Number two, help me!
What's it going to be?
I think I've just remembered a previous appointment, so if you'll excuse me, I'll...
Come back, number two, you coward! I apologize.
Well, you're all on your own now. What have you got to say?
Well, madam, after carefully considering, may I say that we will certainly view your proposals and, and comment on them in the very near future.
Are you going to accept them?
Well, I suppose...
Are you?
Madam, please stop shaking me.
Yes, are you?
Yes.
About that advert you placed in the newspaper for a temporary secretary for Sir Gregory while Miss Bentwater's on leave.
Yes, Mildred, what about it?
Well, there's someone in my office who wants to see about it.
Yeah, well, very well, Mildred. Send her in, would you?
Well, I don't know if you'll appreciate it, but I'll do what you want.
Mildred? Oh, really? I wonder what that was all about.
Yes, it did seem a bit strange.
Here she is, Mr. Lennox Brown.
Well, hello.
And, what are you doing here?
I've come to apply for the job.
What? As Sir Gregory's secretary?
That's right. Oh, but do you know I'm lucky to be at Hall? Those lift gates of yours are so brutal. They close so quickly.
Yes, well, I'm sorry about that.
They jump together so quickly that they pinch the end of my caftan.
How very painful. Now, if
still, I escaped with my life, and here I am, Raymond Ramsbottom at your service.
Well, that's all very well, Mr. Ramsbottom.
You'll call me Ray, won't you? All my friends do.
Yeah, well, very well, May.
Ray!
But I still don't think that you're quite...
Well, I've told you my name. Now tell me yours. Who are you?
Well, if you really must know, my name is Lennox Brown, and this is Mr. Lamb.
Well, hello. Oh, I'm glad to meet you, Lammy.
Lammy?
It isn't very funny, number one.
Because I'm also very excited. I'm so excited to meeting you, Brownie.
All right, number two, that will do. I said that will do, number two. Thank you. Faye.
Ray!
I don't quite see you as Sir Gregory's secretary.
But why not?
Well, he's always been used to a woman.
So, he can just as easily get used to a man, can't he?
Knowing Sir Gregory, I doubt it.
Oh, but I'm ever such a good secretary. I can make the tea, go to the canteen and fetch buns, and I'm much better than a woman because I don't spend hours painting my nails and redoing my hair and makeup. Well, not hours, but a chap has to look his best, doesn't he?
Yes, but I still don't think you're quite
suitable. Oh, I'm ever such a good typist. Just look at my short hands. Go on, have a look. Go on, there you are. Aren't those the shortest hands you've ever seen?
Well, I'm sorry, but I cannot employ you. We want a woman secretary.
Oh, so you're discriminating, are you? Discriminating against us poor, hardly done by men. It's unfair, that's what it is, it's unfair.
Please, just a minute. Just a minute, Kay.
Ray!
I'm sorry, of course, Ray, yes.
I'm going to report you. It's not right that government departments should discriminate in their choice of men or women for jobs.
I seem to have heard all this before somewhere, number one.
Yes, and not very long ago, too.
Well, do you want me to get you into trouble?
I really don't think that you could.
That's where you're wrong. I'm going off to tell my Auntie Fresnella about you.
Oh, get me into trouble. Says, who does he think he... Just a minute. is Auntie Fernelle.
Our two lots of babies try to see side. Our two lots of babies try to see. Our two lots of what? Yes, what do you want, you silly old faggot?
I just thought I'd better tell you that we aren't anywhere near the seaside.
Oh, but I can still sing it, can't I?
I don't know, but it sounds a bit strange.
Well, it'd sound even stranger if I were to sing, oh, I do like to be in Lower Snedgefield. Oh, I do like to be in Snedgefield, wouldn't it?
You could be right there.
Anyway, what do you mean by disturbing me? What do you want?
I want to go out tonight.
All right, goodbye then. Have a nice time.
I want you to take me out. There you are, you see, now see what you've done.
You did it, you silly old bag, with your nonsense about me taking you out.
It isn't nonsense, Humbert. It's so long since we last went anywhere.
Oh, come on, now. Let's be fair. When was the last time I took you out? Come on, tell me that when. Come on.
Oh.
There you are. See, you've forgotten. how soon we forget.
Yes, well, I can't help if it was so long ago. It was in 1973.
1973? No, how can you have such a poor memory? Hey, how can you? Don't you remember that time? Only 3 short years, just 3 short years back when I took you out.
I hardly call a visit to Uncle Bert and Auntie Gladys going out. I want to go out there and hit the high spot, somebody.
Eh? You feeling all right, no?
I'm feeling fine, yes. But I don't want to feel that life is passing me by. I want to live to the full while I've still got my youth. My vitality and my good looks.
No, you're 83.
So, I'm a young, vital 83, aren't I? Still got my good looks, haven't I? Well, haven't I?
You never had any in the first place.
Well, this might be news to you, Humbert, but other men still find me attractive. They want to still sweep me off my feet, carry me off to distant lands, and make me queen of their army.
Oh, blimey. It's that blind milkman been having another go at you.
This is your last chance, Humbert. Are we going out tonight?
You really want me to answer that, Mum?
Yes, Humbert, I do.
All right, then. We aren't going out tonight.
Oh, so that's the way it is it?
Yeah, that's the way it is. What are you going to do about it?
I'm going on strike.
Go on strike? You can't do that, Mum.
I just have. I'm coming out in sympathy with that poor chap who couldn't get a job as a secretary with the civil service.
That's ridiculous, Lo. What does he mean to you?
Nothing. But the Equal Opportunities for Women League has appealed to us all to come out in support of him.
But look, what's your strike got to do with it? Huh?
The chairman said that the civil service was run by men who discriminate against us. So, by striking, we strike against all men. It's like that Greek lady organised.
The Sistrata.
Don't you swear at me, Humbert.
I didn't, no. I was just telling you the name of that Greek bird, Lysistrata.
Yes, and just what makes you think you know so much about it?
Well, no more than you, Sheeper. You don't even know her name. And don't get sarcastic with me, Lol. I can't stand sarcasm.
Nor can your teeth by the sound of it.
And that's another thing I can't stand, Lol. Superciliousness.
What was that, Lol? What can't you stand?
Don't make me say it again, Lol. My teeth will fall out altogether. Are you really going on strike, Lol?
Yes, Humbert, yes. I have to join my sisters in their hour of need. From now on, you don't get any more meals, washing done, cleaning up, shoes done, and in bed.
What, Lol?
No more hot milk.
Ah, well, I'll be Before you start, Lord, you think you could do me one favour?
What's that?
It's just a small thing. If we could
What?
Bring me my lunch.
Number one, what on earth are we going to do now? Sir Gregory will kill us.
Listen, all we've done is put every woman in the country on strike against their husbands and the government.
Well, don't you think that's enough?
Oh, come now, number two, we've done worse in the past. I'm sure Sir Gregory will overlook this small miscalculation on our part.
Do you really think so?
No. He will kill us. Help! No,
well, it's too late to hide. What are we going to do now?
We've got to stand here and face the music. Now, just calm down, number two. I really won't be very long.
Where are you going?
Oh, I've just remembered that I have 3 weeks leave due to me. I might as well take it now.
Well, it's Brown. Hello,
Sir Gregory.
How do you do, sir?
I want to work with you. Look, I can explain, Sir Gregory. See, what happened was this.
Don't bother, Lennox Brown. I know exactly what happened.
Oh, you do, Sir Gregory?
Yes, it's simple. You made a muck of it again.
No, really. I mean, it wasn't our fault. I assure you.
It wasn't your fault. You had caused every woman in the country to lay down tools.
Well, those that had them in the first place...
And all the others. Still, it's all over now.
Yes, I mean... All over, Sir Gregory?
Yes, I sorted it out. I had to take that Raymond chap as my temporary secretary.
Well, he is a very good typist, Sir Gregory.
Yes, and he's got very short hands, I know.
Really, Sir Gregory, that's incredible.
Well, you know.
How did you manage to get that maniac woman to call off the strike, Sir Gregory?
Easy, lamb. The man of my experience. I simply discovered what was wrong with her.
Really?
Yes. I found out why she has such a thing against men.
Oh, you're so clever. Oh, and what is the reason, Sir Gregory?
She is lonely, Lennox Brown.
Lonely?
She has never had a boyfriend.
Well, neither is number two. So why does she try to tear apart every male that comes within 10 feet of her?
No, that's one of the things about some women. It's just her way of showing affection. Soon now it's all sorted out. She's got a boyfriend.
Oh, that's very nice. Who is it, Sir Gregory?
Well, I volunteer.
Oh, how very kind of you, Sir Gregory. Wasn't that kind of Sir Gregory, number two? He was always such a charming chap and helping the female.
Charming chap indeed, yes, and very kind, as you say, too. But not only kind, number one, it was very noble, too.
Oh,
yes,
thank you, lad.
Very noble indeed. Well done, Sir Gregory. I mean, although I would have done the same thing, of course, if I had been in your place. But at the same time, it was a great sacrifice.
Oh, I'm good. I'm glad to hear you'd have done the same thing in my place, lad, because I hadn't quite finished what I was saying.
Oh.
I couldn't volunteer because I'm married. And so is Lennox Brown. So well done, lamb. I have just...
No, really,
Muddling through was the men from the ministry tonight with John Simpson and Roger Service. Also in the mud were Maureen Adair, Tommy Reed, Tom Meehan and Brian Squire.
Tonight's script was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham and produced by Brian Squires. Join the whole mad bunch at the same time next week for another romp down the corridors of power with the men from the ministry. The